Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Jamie Lissau is my guest. Jamie's a guy that has been at the club a few times over the years, but he's having a real career resurgence, and we're going to talk to him all about that. It's a fun interview, too, man. I think this is one of the, you know, I never say that the interviews are bad or this one was good or this one was whatever. I enjoyed every second of doing this thing, and I hope you guys do too. So anyway, let's tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Private event as I'm recording this on the 22nd, so no show for you guys. But tomorrow night, Josh Adams. That's Thursday, the 23rd of April, 2026. Josh Adams is in at 7:30 p.m. for a single show. Josh was with me last week. I had Preacher Lawson and Josh Adams on together last week, and I've interviewed Josh over the years. One of Detroit's very, very best comedians is Josh Adams. So come out tomorrow night to see Josh. He always brings it, man. That interview was fun last week, and he's always great on stage. It's a single show at 7:30. And then Jamie Lissau, the Better Off Dad Tour, comes in Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We got the usual showtimes on Friday and Saturday. That's 7:15 and 9:45 on Friday, the 24th. Saturday. At 6 p.m. Oh, the Saturday shows are early. Hey, there's a change. Should have seen that before I started. The Saturday shows are actually a little bit different. They're a little earlier, 6 p.m. and 8:30 on Saturday. So get used to that. That's a little change, 6 and 8:30 on Saturday. And then our single Sunday show on the 26th of April is at 5 p.m. So Jamie's got those early show times. We'll talk about it in the interview. Why are the showtimes so early? You're here. Why? And yeah, we know why. Those people, some of those fans got to get home before it's dark. But we did that with Jeff Allen a few weeks ago, and it was terrific. So yeah, come out for Jamie. Jamie's super fun. Really great interview. A lot of touchstones to other things in comedy that we talked about. You know, stories of me going back to me being a month into stand-up comedy and going to a comedy club. You'll hear that one. You'll hear people that he knows and is friends with, like TJ Miller. He comes up. Also comes up some Rob Schneider talk towards the end of the podcast. We've had Rob at the club. We tell some Rob stories, which were fun. But Jamie's had an interesting career. I mean, he was a regular touring guy, an opening act in a lot of places. Met a woman, married her, moved to Alaska, raised some kids in Alaska, and still lives there. You'll hear about what it's like to live in Alaska and how he got the Greg Gutfeld show and how he's on there weekly. 180 appearances, he'll tell you on this one. And what it's like to do that show, coming up with the jokes, coming up with the topics. It sounds difficult, but he's good at it. So we'll get to that Jamie Lissau interview in just one second. Want to mention Preacher Lawson this past weekend. Preacher Lawson, Mama Lawson, Justin Lawson. We had some great shows. If you came out to see Preacher this weekend, we appreciate it. We had some great times. And super fun shows. Mama Lawson can go. I was worried that, you know, some headliners like, hey, my mom's going to be the MC. Mom was incredible. She was like the tour manager, too. Selling the T-shirts and everything. And then you had Justin as the feature act. So funny. So, again, not a guy who is riding coattails of his brother. He could be headlining this club on his own, and maybe he will one day. So, Justin, shout out to you. And, of course, Preacher Lawson, you guys know him from AGT. He's kind of got a little bit of a love-hate relationship with AGT. But he's got a nice career going for himself. So, thanks to Preacher and the fam for coming out this past weekend. We had a fun open mic last week, too. And not a lot of open mics coming up in May. So, you guys got to, if you're a young comic and you want to get on the open mic, stay vigilant. Actually, we got a couple in May. We got May 6th, May 13th for open mic, a couple more open mics. But again, the comedy class is always going on in Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Call the club at 248-542-9900 if you want to sign up for the beginner comedy class with Bill Bouchard. If you've never done stand-up comedy, or if you've done some comedy, or you've done the 101 class, you can take the advanced comedy class with me, Joel Fragamenti. We're starting up again June 13th. Sign up for that class by calling 248-542-9900. And that's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that June class, guys. So sign up, will you? All right. Enough of that said. I'm going to get into Jamie Lissau. I think I sort of plugged some of the topics here. Again, fun interview. Jamie's great. You'll hear about his wife and her job on the road, her connections to Metro Detroit. I think it's going to be a great weekend. This certainly was a fun interview to do. I hope it's as much fun to listen to. Here's Jamie Lissau. All right, ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a pleasure to speak to Jamie Lissau. How you doing, Jamie?
Good, Joel. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you again. Yeah, we got a big weekend coming up with you here at the Comedy Castle. 5 shows. And a Sunday show, which is always fun. Let people get to
love a Sunday show.
Sunday
show. Dude, by the way, do you know what time the show is Sunday?
I believe it's a 5 o'clock show. Is that correct?
Dude, yeah. I believe the correct verbiage is it's a dream come true, is what you meant to say.
It's, you know, my wife would say that. My wife would be like, oh, you're home by 7. Yeah, 7:30.
Okay. Dude, it's I started doing the earlier shows when I did a weekend. I don't know if you've ever been in Naples, Florida.
I used to vacation there with my folks.
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. So people, I love Naples, Florida. It's my biggest market. Mm-hmm. But the people are, in fact, advanced in age, which does work to your advantage as a comedian, because you can be as offensive as you want and they can't walk out if they want to. And but they do the earliest shows. And it was where I became addicted to doing some early shows for the people that don't want to stay up late. So we got the late shows, too, for the people that
Friday
like to come
Saturday
out late.
Yeah.
But good stuff.
And because the last time you were in town, I can't remember if you just did one show or two shows, but you did a Sunday show that sold out. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think we did one Sunday show and we sold it out. And then we said, let's do a weekend.
Yeah. Well, here you are, man. This is great. And
we're doing it.
And then you must have been at the club because there's a real old picture of you up there, too, on our wall from a million years ago.
I don't know if any new pictures of me exist.
No,
from what I've seen online, I think they're all old pictures. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I noticed that, dude.
Mark likes the old ones. Mark Ridley loves the old pictures. He likes to see people.
Ridley's a sucker for pictures where people have hope in their faces. You know,
that's a great line, man. I hope he hears this.
I love Ridley, dude. I came there. I think a couple times. Well, you know, man, like that club's always been like a legendary club. Yeah. And I was there years ago. I opened for strange little story, dude. I opened for remember Eddie Strange?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I said remember. He's still going
around.
Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I opened for him and I used to do this joke where I said, like, I get it's a little bit politically incorrect, but back in the day, I used to say I thought of the greatest pickup line for really ugly girls at the bar. It's a great pickup line. It's let's go. And that's it. That's the whole joke. And I'm working with Strange and at the end he comes up to me and he goes, dude, you have to call back that joke at the end of your set. He's like, because it's like funny because you're sort of making fun of someone. But he said in comedy, they want you to be the one that's being made fun of. He goes, so at the end of your show, you have to find a way that a girl says that to you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's brilliant.
That
and so
great.
Later on that, so within the weekend, I write a callback and it absolutely destroys. Yeah. And dude, believe it or not, the very next day on Monday, I get the Tonight Show.
Wow.
And I have to go run my set for them. Like they kind of gave it to me, but they wanted me to run it for them.
Yeah.
And that's what I closed with on the Tonight Show.
That's amazing.
Was that tag that Strange gave me.
That's amazing.
And without it, it would not have been as good. Like he really helped me out. So I always think about that.
That's what the road does to you. You know, I toured for 13 years, man. And some of the stuff I do, you know, if I do a show today, it's like a guy told me this in 2003 after a show. You know, that stuff still comes back.
I remember a lot of comics told me to quit. And a lot of good advice out there.
But it is for you, you know, been in the game so long. This is your greatest success, I take it, in the last few years, right?
Yeah, I think you're referring to this podcast.
Well,
it is. Yes. Dude, it's a Tonight Show
podcast.
I don't have to tell you, man. It's been a journey, and like so many times along the way, where comedy is just—it's a war of attrition at some point, and you have to. My advice when people say, "Should I get into comedy?" is you have to be pulled by it so strongly or you will quit.
Yeah.
Like if it was a regular job, we'd all quit. But because there's like this pull, you keep going and you never know where the thing is going to come from. Like I would have thought, you know, I did the TV show with Rob Schneider on Netflix, like two seasons. I would have said, oh man, I'm going to end up selling tickets from the Netflix show. And that didn't really happen. You know, and then like, I remember even talking to Craig Robinson once and he was like, you know, The Office didn't really start selling tickets. He was like, it was Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
He's like, wow. It was that movie. He's like, you never know where it comes from. And then, we kind of came in the back door with the Greg Gutfeld show. Mm-hmm. And dude, it's great to be, by the way, you know how like child actors, they just become addicted to drugs and things don't go well for them. That's why you wait till you're 51 to get famous. It's too late. There's no room to ruin it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's amazing. I have a comedy story that goes back to my beginnings in stand-up comedy. And I think it's gonna feel like a real tangent, but trust me, it goes someplace.
Okay.
I was 1999. I started comedy, and my favorite. And I had never been to a comedy club, but I wanted to do stand up. Mm-hmm. I had been to one stand up show in my life, and it was the Palace of Auburn Hills. So that's the Detroit Pistons arena here at the time. Andrew Dice Clay in an arena. That's the only comedy show I had ever seen live, in person.
All right.
So I started doing stand-up, but I'd never been to a club. I'd been to open mics a few times, and I went in. My favorite comic was coming to town, Chaplin's Comedy Club, and I walk into that club, seeing my favorite comic. And the first guy on stage, again, I had never seen a real club comedy show, right? And I remember the first guy on stage, and I go, this is a guy I've never heard of, but he's so funny. I wonder what's going to happen with his career. It's like December of 99, I think. And I go, I'm going to follow this guy. I'm going to see what happens with this guy because he was really talented, but I've never heard of him. Do you know who that guy was?
Who was that guy?
Jamie Lissau. That's who that was.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
you're
opening for Robert Schimmel.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Chaplin's Comedy Club. If you remember, east side of Detroit, eastern suburbs. Yeah.
Wow. That's wild, man.
And you were the officially the first club comedian I ever saw live is you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude.
And I remember it. I remember it clear. I was like, I got to remember this guy. This guy's going to. And guess, you know, it's like, I got to follow this guy's career. I mean, as much as you could, sort of almost like pre-internet, you know, I'm going to follow this guy's career. And guess what? I never heard from you again for like
decades.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of disappeared for a while.
No, but you're killing it. And I'm so happy. I'm like, wow, that's the guy I saw a million years ago. And, you know, I became friends with Bob a little bit, with Bob Schimmel a little bit over the years, too. So, yeah, it was a great night.
Yeah, dude, I went to dinner with him one of those nights.
Yeah.
And he was like, really, it was like an interesting, like I've kind of stolen what he talked to me about, like the talk he had with me. And he basically said, I can't promise I'm going to have you open for me. I can't promise whatever. And he's like, but I will give you like advice. And he actually told me that he saw me. He said I was on stage.
Yeah.
And he said, he said that I saw comedians walk into the back of the room and I saw him come in. And he said, I started doing jokes to the back of the room. And he said, they were really funny, but he goes, I'm never going to give you a paycheck.
Yeah.
Your friends are never going to pay you. He's like, quit with the back of the room stuff. He's like, that's not what it's about. And I was like, oh my God. Cause I used to really be that guy, dude. I used to really be like, I wanted to make the other comedians laugh. And he made it very clear. He said that was always a Leno thing. Yeah. Like you're performing for the room, not the back of the room. Nice. And he's like, and I remember thinking about that. And I was like, I am really guilty of that. Like I used to always love those little inside baseball comedy jokes, which are not funny to a regular person. They're just not funny.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a really interesting point there. And I actually did I teach comedy class now at the Comedy Castle, advanced comedy class.
Oh, nice, man.
My audience knows I plug it every show, but but I had a special guest, and my special guest, one of our headliners, came in. He talked to the class. Somebody in the class raised their hand and said, who is a comedian that we should be watching and following? And he said, you should be watching this guy in New York named Jamie Lissau. That's what he said.
What?
Yeah. You know who that guy was.
Wait a second. Is the reveal of the story that was also me?
No, it was not you. Oh. It was not you that said it. TJ Miller said that about you. TJ.
Get out of here.
Yeah, TJ said that. How great is that?
Come on.
That's a compliment. Amazing. TJ's amazing. And then he recommended you. And I said, oh, Jamie's coming here. It was like a couple months ago. And I said, Jamie's here in a couple of months. That's awesome. Come see Jamie.
Wow. I just got some tingles. TJ, I have a career crush on TJ Miller. I love his, I'm envious of certain things he does that I feel like I can't do. Oh. Like he has more of like a don't give an F situation than I do. He has more of that. Like I'm still more of a, I'm still fighting the people pleasing. And, That is a very, very nice compliment, man. Yeah. Thank you for sharing with us.
I mean, that was
cool.
Great. If you ever see TJ, say, hey, I heard that thing. Joel told me that story and said that you were, you know, I mean, out of the clear blue sky, he just said you. And I was like, oh, that's how great.
Wow. I'm going to message him when we hang up, because that is super cool. I swear to God. Very cool.
Yeah, I like TJ a lot. He's one of those guys, man.
Dude, Rick, can I tell you two quick TJ stories? My friend that's opening for me this week, his name's Matt Bergman, and he's very good friends with TJ. They like grew up together. And whenever he works with me, he tells me, I always feel like I'm so sorry. I'm so boring compared to your weeks with TJ, because he tells me all these stories about what they did. And he said once they had a couple shows that night. And for me, if I have a couple shows, I'll go to a coffee shop. All right, I'll take a nap. Yeah. And he said he was at a coffee shop with TJ or something. And he goes, all right, TJ, should we get going? And TJ goes, actually, I was on Facebook Marketplace and I just hired a makeup artist to come give us a couple black eyes. So if we could just hang out for a little, and he's like, what? And so he just hired this guy to paint black eyes on them. And then they filmed some fun stuff with it. He just does such fun things, man. I feel like he's a real free spirit. One of my favorites, man. No two shows alike.
Yeah, TJ. I agree. When he works our club, it's a fun weekend. It's an exhausting weekend, but it's a fun weekend with TJ.
Yeah,
for sure, man. But let's talk a little bit more about your career. I mean, just the credits and everything. Do you feel like the Gutfeld thing, which you mentioned already, was that really where people started coming to see you, or that sort of that audience, that Fox News audience? Really latched on at that point. Yeah,
it was an absolute correlation. Mm-hmm. Like the first time I was on there, and I used to do Greg's old show, which was on at 3 a.m. and didn't really, I did it like 50 times, but no one ever came to the club and said, I saw you on that show, because it was on so late. And I remember we were trying to work it out, and I was like working on this movie. I was writing with Rob Schneider after COVID, and Greg was like, I got a new show. You got to come down. It takes a year for us to schedule me going to New York City from Alaska, you know, to do the show. And I did it. And at the end of the show, it was so fun. And at the end of the show, he goes, where are you at this weekend? I go, I'm opening for Rob Schneider at the Stress Factory in New Jersey. And that weekend, dude, 60 people.
Yeah.
Over 60 people came and bought tickets because of Greg's show. And I was the opener. And they were like $45 tickets. And I was the opener. And they came, and 60 people came. And I was like, wait a minute, what is going on with this show? And so I immediately called Greg and I said, when can I do this again? And he goes, why don't you do it once a month? And I did it for 3 months, once a month. And then he goes, can you do this every week from Alaska? And I was like, I will figure it out. I'll figure it out. And he was like, okay. He's like, once a week. And he was like, and so, you know, we kind of backed off to like, I do it like 3 times sometimes every month just because of the travel. But it was one of those things, man, where I saw the value. And I think Greg saw the value of me, and we were both like, let's do this. And so, dude, last week, my 180th appearance.
Amazing. I'm applauding right
after.
Are you hearing that?
After, pretty wild, dude.
That is amazing.
I thought you were having doggy style sex when I heard that. I didn't know. I go, this is a.
But that show is something else, because, you know, Joe Mackey's a guy that comes in all the time. Year and a half, whatever, rotation. But he, you know, he used to come in before he was working for Greg and all that stuff. But since he, you know, became a face of that show, the audience has like doubled for him.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild. And it's funny how there are certain, I've learned a lot about markets. Mm-hmm. Like I think this would be my first time. You never know. Like the reason we do one show, the reason we came to Ridley's and did one show is we don't know what markets are going to respond. So like, I'd say 70% of markets, you do sell out the one show and then you go back into a weekend. But there are some, dude, Portland, Maine, 30 people. And you go, what the? Ooh, what? And it's humbling. And then I remember I went to Naples. I did Portland, Maine, and 30 people came. And I remember being like, okay, I needed this. I needed to remember that it's not just super easy and I got to do shows like this. And the very next day I went to Naples and I sold out a show, and the guy was like, hey, dude, he's like, we couldn't at a show because you had a show like every night in different cities. He goes, but he goes, your show sold out 3 months ago. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And so, dude, I just did Naples. We sold out 10 shows. So it's like, you never incredible. Know. You never know where you're going to, where your market's going to be. So I'm like super psyched about to bring it back to Royal Oak. I was so psyched when that one, when those tickets were moving, because I was like, one of the places I would love to do a weekend. And my wife did her doctor stuff at in Detroit. And so she's coming with me.
That's great. Yeah. Your wife's a doctor. You were telling me a little before. Telehealth medicine on the road with you. That's a thing that she's up to.
What is it called, Erica? Med School Henry Ford.
Okay. Yeah.
Beaumont and residency at Beaumont.
Is that the Royal Oak Beaumont? That's right by the club. Yeah, there you go.
Is that right? No kidding. Is that the hotel we're at? The Beaumont?
Well, no, Beaumont's the and then it's very close to the club.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
all
very
right.
Very close to the club. So, yeah.
Very cool.
So how is that now, traveling with a partner, traveling with someone who is working as you're working on the road?
Yeah, dude, I think I just interrupted her breast exam just now. No, I'm just kidding. She's not on with a patient, but it's great, man. You know the road. You know what the road's like.
Yeah, and
if you can bring your wife with you, I was able to, you know, now that she does the telemedicine on the road, I was able to like travel a little bit more and work a little more. And she was working earlier this morning seeing patients. I will say though, dude, something new every day when you're married to a doctor. New every day. Last night she starts running her fingers through my hair, right? And I go, we're in bed. And I go, is it like sex? Is that what's happening? And she goes, nope, just looking for cancer. And I go, oh God, I guess maybe when you're done looking for that, you can help me find that boner that was just here. It was just here. I don't know where it went. But it's fun, man. I'll tell you the funny thing. The first time I met Erica, I was at the Denver Comedy Works or something. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her how comedians, she's not like a comedian. By the way, first comedian, the only comedian Erica ever saw was T.J. Miller at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle during med school.
Wow. Okay.
That's the only other comedy club she went to before I met her.
And I would have been there.
And, dude, you might have been there. I absolutely would have been there.
Yeah, I think I've been there.
That's wild, dude. Yeah. The first time I was hanging out with her, I'd tell her all about comedy. I was telling her about how, like, comedians, people will always say, try to be funny. Tell me a joke or whatever. People that don't know, they go, hey, tell me a joke. It's annoying. And she said, oh, my God, there's like a doctor version of that where it's like, hey, what's wrong with me? And I go, oh, that's crazy. You know, and I swear to God, I get off stage at the Denver Comedy Works. The first time she came on the road with me, and the opening act had his shoe and sock off, showing her a wound on the bottom of his foot. I swear to God, like, not even doing a bit. And she was like, that's like an ab set. I'm like, what? This is crazy. Yeah. People are always asking her for advice.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's amazing. Now, you mentioned Alaska, and I've heard you talk about this in other appearances, but first of all, how do you end up in Alaska? What was you weren't raised in Alaska, correct?
No. The way to end up in Alaska is you just marry a wolverine in your first marriage, and you get divorced, and then it was basically a divorce thing. She was living in Alaska, and then she wanted to like raise the kids in Alaska, so we moved there. Mm. And I did it, you know, to be like the good husband, dad guy, to go, all right, we'll have, you know, they'll have her family up there. They're a very supportive family. And I moved up there, but we got divorced, like, I think as the plane was landing with our things. And it's funny, dude. I'm a big proponent of the, I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase. It's originally a Marcus Aurelius, right?
Okay.
Where he says the impediment to the way is the way. Or there's this guy, Ryan Holiday, who paraphrases it as the obstacle is the way, where all the bad things in your life are not only okay, but they may be the way through to the next level. Okay. It may actually be good things. And all the terrible things, like living in Alaska is terrible.
Yeah.
It's like 5,000 miles from Greg's studio. And like getting divorced is terrible. And losing your money is terrible. But without those things, I have no character on the Greg Gutfeld show.
Yeah.
And nobody remembers who I am. Like all that stuff is like, I can't tell you how many times I've been at a coffee shop and somebody goes, are you that divorced guy from Alaska? I go, yep, that's me.
Well, you got to be known for something, right? And in this world, and then that could be worse.
Could be worse.
Yeah, man. And then the audiences, let's talk about the audiences for these shows, too. They seem very loyal to you. They seem very loyal, and they like, What is the thing that you hear from the audiences that they like about your stand-up versus somebody else?
All right, man, I'll tell you the truth. This isn't even a humble brag. I think it's an actual brag, but this is what I hear most often. I hear one of my favorite compliments is someone will say, my husband watches Fox News.
Yeah.
He's a huge fan of yours. I am on the other side of politics. Yeah. I did not want to come. And I came and it was so much fun and I had a great time. Oh, and I didn't feel like ostracized or made fun of. That's my number one favorite thing is that the show has, we're not here to yell in an echo chamber and make anybody feel, like, I just don't understand that. Yeah. I don't think that's our place as comedians. Sure. Yeah. I think it's like a night off. And so that's my favorite. And then my other one is a lot of people tell me that I exceeded their expectations due to, like, you know, when you're on TV, it's very limiting
because
you can only say certain things. We're talking about certain topics, and on stage, you can do whatever you want. And so I think my other favorite compliment is people come and said, you know, hey, we didn't know what to expect. And this is like, we wish you talked more on the show, or this is so much better than you even on the show, which I think is very nice. But I think you get that completely because it's sort of like what we do versus performing within very, very strict parameters.
Yeah.
Like, so it's obviously going to be different, but so I love that, man. And you, dude, you know, I don't know if you watched the show at all, but I will. I've been on 180 times. Like I said, I don't think I've ever made one point. I've never made a point in 180. I go joke first. Even if I have a point to make,
right?
If I have the greatest point, I go, man, I don't think anybody's ever made this point about birth certificates, you know, and voter ID. Yeah. If I think of one good joke about my balls, I will do that joke. I will do the ball joke. I go joke first.
Now, how difficult is it preparing to be on Gutfeld with coming up with, I mean, I take it you're coming up with some of this stuff before you sit down. I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, dude, it's like a tightrope. It's like, it's so exciting. You're doing, when I did the Tonight Show, I worked on that 5-minute set for almost a year and they would have me like practice it and stuff. Yeah. And when you're on Gutfeld, you know, it's lately over 3 million people every night. Yeah. It's basically live. Like, it's pre-tape, but it is like there's no editing. And you are given 5 topics at noon and you are taping at, you have to be there at 5. Yeah, okay. So you have 5 hours to write jokes for all those topics. And they're all brand new jokes. You're doing like an open mic in front of 3 million people. And it is one of the most, like, I take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. So it makes me, you know, that day's kind of stressful and I'm very organized in the way I do it. I have people I call and run the jokes by, and those people help me and all that stuff. So I take it very seriously. But when you walk out of that studio and you had like a couple jokes that destroyed that you have never told before, and like all the other ones went okay, it's there's nothing like it, man. It's a different kind of feeling. It's similar to doing good on stage, but man, you're doing just like brand new stuff and you're doing ad libs on TV, which I never thought I'd be comfortable enough to do that. And you're making up tons of stuff on the fly with all those people watching. So it's just high stakes, you know,
absolutely.
But we have a very forgiving crowd, I think.
Well, our Comedy Castle crowd, they're going to love it. They're going to eat this up this weekend. Although I think with here's the challenge, I think give you a little piece of advice. Not that you can't handle it. You're on TV weekly, right? But you're going to have not just the people that love you that came out last time on the one show. You may have the birthday parties, and you know, as a club comic, right? The bachelorettes. Those people will probably be there too, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Those guys do show up.
Yeah.
And I will say, I do feel pretty good about that fact. I do believe that if it doesn't matter that we're on the same team for you to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I think that was very important to me when I started doing that. Well, I'll tell you the truth. The first year I started selling tickets with Gutfeld, you would not have had a good time if you had wandered in.
Because
I think I really leaned into it. Like, it was all, it was very political. And then somewhere along the line, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I was a comedian way before this. Like, why don't I, they get that from the show. Why don't I do something different? And so I really sort of like switched gears and said to myself, hey, if somebody got a babysitter and they're celebrating their bachelorette party, like, that's like a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah.
We don't want someone to be offended and like, what is the point of ruining that person's night? Yeah. We're all people, and we all get that you got a babysitter and you came up for your birthday. And so that is like one of my highest goals is to make it so that like people that wander in, or like Ridley's is a club, like even the Naples Club, they have a huge following. Mm-hmm. The club has a huge
exactly.
following.
Yeah, people come to Ribby's.
And so you
just to
yeah, so you have like, you got to make sure that you're doing a show for everybody that just loves to come to that club. And so I look forward to it. I look forward to any challenge or any bachelorette party.
Dude, it's going to be fantastic. I'm so looking forward to myself. You're one of the good guys. Good guy to hang. We hung in the green room a little bit last time.
I remember, dude. It's very wild. I can't wait, man. We'll have a good time.
We were running out of time here, but I was going to talk to you about the Beatles because that's your pre-show music.
Oh, yeah. So I stole that from Rob Schneider, who stole that from somebody else.
Yeah, you told me that story last time. I go, Rob Schneider does the Beatles. He says, yeah, Rob stole it from somebody else.
That's right. I can't remember who, but I feel like the Beatles pre-show, dude.
Yeah.
It's great. Cause I've been in the room before where they're playing like Luther Vandross and I go, this is going to ruin everything. And so you play that early Beatles, you know, you play that, some of that White Album, some of the more upbeat stuff. Yeah. And that's what they walk into. Yeah. I love it, man. But I will not take credit for that. I stole that from Rob Schneider. Wow. You probably know this, I used to do a joke. I don't want people to think all I do is ride off the success of Rob Schneider. Yeah. And I go, I have stuff I do totally on my own. To see it, you can go to my website. Yeah. It's robschneidersfriend.com. And I now also, you can also now get tickets at greggutfeldsfriend.com. You can go to either one of those.
They both work. Now, Rob and I went to breakfast after his last trip to the club. And I drove him to the airport and we talked Beatles pretty much the whole time.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Love that guy, Rob.
Good dude. Very good
fun.
Dude.
Rob was a lot of fun. And I don't know what's going on in the press with him, but as a guy to hang with, I had about as much fun as you could with Rob Schneider.
He's the man. He left me a message 1 hour ago and he challenged me to take a month off of work. He says he thinks we're both working too hard and he thinks we should both take a month off. And then I don't know if I'm alive. I was helping him write some jokes for like somebody at the White House yesterday. So he's he's doing all right for himself. Yeah,
good to know, man.
Let me read this text again. It may just be a White House. Just a White House.
Well, Jay. Yeah, we should get Rob back. Rob's fun, man. I love Rob.
Yeah, get Rob
all right.
back.
And it's going to be a great weekend, though, dude.
It's going to be great. We'll see you this weekend.
Be great. We'll see you this weekend. Five shows with Jamie. Come out Sunday. Come on, Sunday.
All right, Joel.
You're home early.
We'll do it, man.
Jamie, thanks for talking to me, man. We'll see you this weekend.
You got it, man. Good talking to you this weekend. Right. Later.
Bye-bye. All right. Jamie Lissau. Good stuff, man. Really funny. He can keep that conversation going, man. He's a natural. That's why he's on Gutfeld all the time. That's why he's selling out 10 shows in Naples, Florida. We got to get him and Sam Morrell together to talk about Naples. If you know Sam's bit, Sam's act, he hates Naples. He bombed in Naples. Naples didn't like him, whatever it is. But they love Jamie. And you know what? I like both of these guys. So who am I to say? I actually had a good time in Naples, and I visited there with my family a few times. So, anyway, let's get you out of here, guys. Great weekend coming up. Tickets, go to comedycastle.com, of course, for all these tickets. Josh Adams Thursday. We talked to Josh last week on this show. And Jamie Lissau this week. It's going to be a fun time. All right? How about that? Let's get you out of here. Comedy classes at the club. Come on. Get on that. Learn how to do comedy. And again, we had DJ Miller as a guest in my class. Who knows who's going to show up in your class? Could be anybody. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Bill Bouchard, who's always helping out with the guests. Thanks to you guys for listening. Say hi to me at the club if you see me, will ya? See you next week.